This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Have you witnessed a miracle? Have you witnessed a healing? I would say if you haven't, that's sad, because when you see a miracle, you realize at a new level that God is real. He cares. He is able to see you personally, see us personally. He is able to do something in this day and age. My friend, I would say it's necessary for you to see this.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you for Dr. Prudian. I thank you for his ministry. I thank you, Lord, for your help today that we can even connect. And we love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Rome. It is a great privilege and honor to be on here with you at the Air Force Radio. So many years you and I have known one another and kept in touch, and you had a fond affinity for my spiritual father and mentor, Dr. James Maloney.
Today, John is going to share with you from his ministry what he's experienced so that you too could experience it, that you can expect it in your life. So today on this broadcast, we share part of a pre-recorded message from Dr. John Prudian of Jesus Nation Ministry.
Being a believer that's not, we love God, but we're not experiencing the kingdom being released in an explosive, dynamic way, like in the ministry of Jesus. Right, where Jesus went, there was explosive miracles. Outrageous miracles. And sometimes these outrageous miracles would just set off whole towns. When you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gets baptized, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, gets tempted for 40 days, and then he returns in the power of the Spirit. So there's that empowering part that is so important. So I had the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Spirit is there, okay? But there's a different word in the Greek. There's the dunamis power of God, and there's the kratos power of God. And one is that resident power, the presence of God within you by the Holy Spirit. But it's another word when that power is actualized and released. So you were created to not only be so filled with the Holy Spirit that power and that love is released from you wherever you go, okay? But I'm going to take you through this process, and we just want to see you. This is the whole point of the ministry of Global Awakening, is to replicate Jesus, to make disciples so that you're walking in that breaker power. I mean, you know, we need the breaker anointing of God in our lives, right? We talk about these desperate situations. It's like, man, God, if you don't move, it's over. It's like game over. There's nothing to move forward here. We face life and death situations when we pray for people. Someone's got cancer or whatever, or wants to kill themselves or whatever. All right, that spirit of suicide, whatever it is that might be ailing them, right? Maybe it's drug abuse, whatever it might be, right? It's the power of God released. So Jesus is empowered by the Spirit after he fasts for 40 days and then goes to Nazareth. And he reads from Isaiah 63, right? The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, right? To preach to the glad tidings, right? And he preaches liberty to the captives, and the acceptable year of the Lord is upon you. And it doesn't go very well. He preaches in the synagogue in Nazareth. And it's, imagine your own town people, the people that grew up with you, your relatives, wanting to kill you and throw you off a cliff. How many of you know that's not a great ministry day? Right? Sometimes we like to feed you guys like the greatest hits reel, right? Of we pray for someone and it's like, boom, they get healed. And it's great. We need those great, great testimonies. But if we only give you that, we're not really giving you the complete picture, because it wasn't like that in the ministry of Jesus. Right? There were some good days and there were some not so good days. Right? Eat my flesh, drink my blood message didn't go over so well either. When he preached that, right? Talk about clearing the room out when you're preaching. right? That was a bad ministry day. Imagine preaching to hundreds of people and you're left with about a dozen at the end of the sermon. But this was, but Nazareth is even worse. They want to kill him. But he doesn't give up because he knows that who he is, and he knows that he's empowered by the Spirit of God. It's easy to give up, like, man, that didn't go very well. And then he wouldn't have experienced the next step, which was Capernaum, where we have healing breakthrough. So a breaker miracle occurs as Jesus is preaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. He casts the demon out of a man. I don't think the church was very good at casting demons out of people before that. Okay, if someone had a demon, they were in pretty bad shape when Jesus showed up on the scene. It's like, oh man, they've got a demon. They weren't very good at getting demons out of people. There was a provision in the Old Covenant to get demons out of people, but they were not walking in that. Okay, so you were pretty bad shape. So Jesus comes along, casts this demon out, and like, oh my gosh, people start going nuts. What in the world? Who is this man, right? And then he heals Peter's mother-in-law of the fever. What does he do? He speaks. He breaks it by the power. See, God has anointed you with the Holy Spirit. And there's two means of the release of the power of God. That's in your hands, laying on of hands. Jesus said, in Mark 16, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover, not die. And so after Peter's mother-in-law is healed, it is healing breakout. These breakthrough miracles lead to many, many people getting saved. That's when there's healing breakout. And Capernaum was such a model of this. I think many scholars believe that Jesus actually had a home in Capernaum and actually lived there. And that was kind of a home base for Jesus, where he went out and administrated the kingdom from. Okay, but it's about this release. So how do we get there, and what are the issues here at play? I was, like I said, I wasn't walking in any miracle power before being a part of Global Awakening. And I want to give you a few keys here. 1 Thessalonians has a wonderful, wonderful revelation for us, 5:23, where it says, and may the God of peace, I love what Pastor Paul loves to talk about, the peace of God and the power of peace, right? And it talks about your spirit, soul, and body being preserved, right, at the day of the Lord Jesus. What is the spirit, soul, and may the God himself sanctify you, means make you holy through and through, right? May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Okay, so you've got a spirit. That's your spirit man that God has created. He knit you, right? And he created you, your spirit, your uniqueness, who you are. Your soul is the way you think, your mind, your will, your emotions, and all of that. And your body is your physical body. So it's the pneuma is the spirit, the psuche is the soul, and the body is the soma in the Greek. Okay, so faith and releasing the kingdom is not simply a thought in your mind, okay? That is soulish. So when I was praying for the sick, I would say, Lord, I think you just heal them, Lord, just touch them, I just believe. And what happens is now that is a mind game. So I'm trying to get my mind, and I'm praying what? How am I praying? I'm laying hands on people, and I am praying out of my soul. What is missing in this equation? What is missing? The spirit, right? So it's soul, body, nothing. Okay, this is why people were dying. This is why people were not getting healed when I prayed for them, because the origin wasn't the spirit man. There wasn't a release from the spirit, and I had a stronghold of unbelief in me. Okay, so much of this stirring and stirring up the gifts. When the gifts are stirred up, and it's not just about stirring up gifts, it's about stirring up the Spirit of God that is in you. And that includes fruit as well, okay? It's a complete stirring up of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but if he's not being released out of you, right, then that's how many believers are today And they don't walk in the power of the kingdom because they're not releasing the kingdom of God. They're not releasing it by the power of the Spirit. It's a soulish prayer. It's double-mindedness at its root. So I knew there was a problem with me, but I didn't know how to fix me. Okay? But I knew the problem was me. The problem wasn't God. I really believe God wanted the first person I prayed for to be healed. Okay, I didn't have to learn. God wasn't trying to teach me a lesson when I prayed for decades without seeing a breakthrough. John, I'm going to show you failure, failure, failure. That was not God's will. Okay? That was not God's will. Okay? But it was so important for me to be around people that were releasing the power of the Spirit. Right? What do they say about Peter? Right? Peter is kind of this guy who likes to talk a lot, doesn't always say the right things. Right? But all of a sudden, after Pentecost, when he's full of the Spirit, somehow he turns into a genius when he speaks. Right? All of a sudden, he speaks and people are getting healed. People are getting filled with the Spirit. People are getting saved. Right? This is Peter. What happened to him? He was with Jesus. Right? He was around the presence and he was around the release of the kingdom of God. Okay? So, as a first-year student at Global Awakening, Dr. Randy Clark had a school of healing and impartation, and it was absolutely amazing. As Randy spoke and moved so powerfully, I'll tell you about the power of impartation as well and how it's affected me, because I know my story. It's so many Christians, right? We have God, we love God, but we're not seeing what God told us that we should be seeing. So, I don't know how to fix me. I'm a mess. All right? We're there and at this meeting, and it's wonderful. We're getting activated in words of knowledge and just the wonderful things that are a part of the kingdom of God, being filled with the Spirit of God and all of the above. So, there's a guest speaker that he had come in named Dr. James Maloney, who was known for metal miracles and just seeing incredible things happen. He calls up this little girl on the stage. Paul was there at this meeting, I believe, right? And Paul later told me that it was a pastor's daughter, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, and her growth is stunning. She's about this tall, and she should be, I don't know how tall she was, but she was like the size of 5 or 6 year old, 7 year old, but she was 13 or something, 12, 13, 14. I don't really know how old she was, but she was smaller than she should have been, way smaller, all right? And this man comes in and he says, and he names her exact condition. I don't even remember what it was. But then he says, and God told me he's going to restore your stature. I'm like, well, that's cool. I'm thinking, you know, when she's 20, she'll be the size of a 20-year-old. That's what I'm thinking in my wonderful brain. And then he says, God told me he's going to restore your stature right now. That's like game on, right? Like, that is a serious statement. You're either a nutty fool or, right? And it's like, you can't go back from something like that, right? I mean, it's just, I was like, man, this guy's got a lot of faith. That's what I was thinking, faith. Actually, I was maybe thinking something else too, but anyways. He says, everybody just worship the Lord. Focus on Jesus. And as he lays his hand on this little girl's head, Jesus begins to speak. I mean, I ran down to the front. I don't know where you were. It was like, man, you could hear the air go out of the room. Like, when you're witnessing a great miracle like that, right? These are breaker miracles. In that moment, a stronghold of unbelief was broken off of me through the witnessing of that. This is so much of the stirring is you experiencing God and you witness God move. And you let that witnessing and that, you let yourself be stirred. Right? You say, God, you're moving. God, you're wonderful. God, you're amazing, right? And the Spirit of God, there's an agreement that is established with the Spirit of God within you. There's no longer fighting against the Spirit. It's not your soul wrestling with the Spirit. That's called what? Double-mindedness. That's why he says, if you're double-minded, don't expect to get anything, because if you're double-minded, then the Spirit's not allowed to move. Right? We have to be fully in the Spirit, right, when we minister. When I say fully, I mean, it's not like your mind's not involved. It's not like you know, there's times when we come and we might not be full of faith, in particular moments, but the Spirit of God is, and He is in you, right? This is what the kingdom of God is all about. So I know the stronghold of unbelief was broken off of me because I just had a new boldness to pray for people. Like before, I'd be like even in global meetings, like Randy would line, you know, he lines up his prayer team, and then people come down for prayer, right? So people would come down for prayer. I'd see someone like, you know, happy, getting ready for me to pray for him, and I'd be like, have this person pray, you know, like, you don't want me praying for you because I know you're not going to get healed if I pray for you, and I really want you to be healed. So don't come to me in my line. That was where I was, honestly. I was like, oh, I really love these people. I want them healed. Don't let me mess things up. Have somebody else pray for me. Okay. That was reality. And so, but there was something was different after seeing that miracle. We prayed for a guy that was in a wheelchair. He started getting the feeling back in his legs. We went back to the hotel. I'm just so lit up. I tell everybody about it, right? I prayed for the guy behind the counter, and he got blasted like this. Like, whoa, what was that? I said, that's God. He loves you. You know, it's just like full-on mode, right? Where it's like the kingdom and the Spirit is just so open, right, in those moments. We need to really lay hold of those moments and absorb them fully, right, into who we are. Let us be transformed by these wonderful, wonderful moments of God. Okay, so that's what happened. And this man is walking through the lobby real quick, trying to get out the door. And I stopped him. I said, hey, guess what? God just healed this girl and everything. And he's looking at me like I am just absolutely crazy. And I said, man, God. He's like, oh, yeah, well, what's your God going to do about this? And his hand was in his, and he sticked his arm out. And it's all, like, white and clammy. Like, there's no color on his arm. I didn't know this, but he was 26 years old. I didn't know at the time. He was 26 years old and had no feeling in that arm because it was all white. So I said, if this would have been, like, 4 hours ago, I would have been like, ah, and probably ran out the door, right? But because of what had happened, I said, that's nothing. God can heal that. That's nothing. You kidding? Really? You're coming with this? You know, I thought you'd have something. Anyways, we began to pray for him. My wife was with me. And another pastor and his wife, we just begin to pray. And we see this, like, red spot. I got a word of knowledge. I said, something's going on right here. And as I said that, a little red circle appeared in the midst of the white. And it just began to move down his arm. His arm just began to get red, like color back, instead of white. And he got his feeling back. It took a while. We prayed for a while. But it wasn't a fast miracle, but it was life-changing, and he got his feeling back. The man can't believe he's 26 years old. He's about ready to go out the door. I think he's going out to party, right? Wasn't planning on getting healed, wasn't planning on meeting God, wasn't planning on getting saved, but he got all of the above. He gave his life to Jesus in that moment, right? You know, when God's moving, when God's getting healed, you say, man, he loves you. This is the time. Give your life to him. Don't miss this moment. Call on the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Don't miss this moment when he is near. Remember, Jesus would say, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is near. What was Jesus trying to say? Don't miss this. I'm here now. It might not always be. This might be your shot right now. The kingdom of God is near. With Rich Younger, now here it is. I'm here. Here's what you need to do. Right? It was always like, Jesus was so amazing, just challenging people all the time and in such a wonderful way. In the area of faith, okay? But these are the explosive miracles and what God does in our lives. So this is what makes all the difference in the world. There's a spirit-to-spirit connection. So I received another impartation from Dr. Randy Clark in Brazil. Just what we're doing here, right? And I witnessed this through Paul and Richie laying hands on people, seeing people be imparted in the Spirit. So what happens during these moments of impartation, when someone's moving in the power of the Spirit and they lay hands on you, or you witness a great miracle, impartation can come in several different ways, okay? It can come by inspiration, that's the testimony. It can come by the reading of the Word of God, Okay, faith can rise that way, and it can come from faith can rise that way, and it can come from laying on of hands. Okay, it was so important for the Apostle Paul many times to lay hands on people. So here's what happens. Okay, someone lays hands on you, and this is why Paul prayed what he did in Ephesians. He said, "I pray out of the riches of His glory." I want you to hear this. I pray that out of when Paul says, "This is how I pray," I pay attention in the Bible. Or Jesus says, "Pray like this." These are like really like big important moments, right? Paul says this: "I pray that out of the riches of His glory," this is how I pray for you, "that you would be strengthened." I want you to hear this. I want you that you would be. This is Paul. This is what, this is essential. This is what I pray. This is how I pray. This is what I pray, because this is the most important thing I could possibly pray for you. "I pray that out of the riches of His glory, that you would be strengthened with mighty power in your inner man," that's your spirit man, "by the Holy Spirit. I pray that your spirit would receive so much from the Holy Spirit." Okay, when you get saved, what? You receive what? The Holy Spirit. That's the mark of being a new creation. That's called Christ in you. Paul said, "It is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God." See? That's the life of faith that you live when you become a new creation. You enter into a life of faith in God who loves me. Right? He loves me, gave Himself for me. "I was John, but then when I gave my life to Jesus, got born again," what's being born again is becoming a new creation, is receiving the Holy Spirit. All right, so it's no longer John that lives, but Christ in John. So my new name is actually Christ in John. I'm a new creation, and you're a new creation called Christ in whatever your name is. That's who you are. If you're saved, if you're born again and filled with the Spirit. If you're not, then you're just whatever your name is. That's who you are. Okay? Lost and without a father. God's so loving, He put us in a family. That was the whole point of Jesus, to bring us into the kingdom of God, to be adopted as sons and daughters in the kingdom. So now I'm a new creation called Christ in John. So you're a new creation called Christ in. Always remember that. It's not you anymore. You, singular, died and no longer exists. If you're saved and filled with the Spirit, then you don't exist anymore as a singular person anymore. I think I needed an amen on that. Okay, all right. That was a good moment. I like that. I was like, it's not you anymore. Okay, it's just not you. Okay, it's Christ in you makes all the difference in the world. If it's not Christ in you, Paul's like, you may as well eat, drink, and be merry. If you're not a new creation filled with the Spirit, if it's just you, then nothing matters what you do, right? Because without the Spirit of God, you're not a son. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit is your mark of sonship and adoption into the kingdom of God, into being a citizen of heaven and a son or daughter of the King. It's a kingdom. And we have a king. A good king. You know, the perfect government is the kingdom of the perfect king. I needed another yes on that. It's not capitalism. It's kingdom with a perfect king, right? Now on the earth, when people are flawed, you're not going to get a perfect king. So I'm very glad we have capitalism, just to say, tell you that. I'm really glad for our checks and balances and for the government of the United States. It was inspired, you know, these guys were love the Lord, right? Okay, because you don't want one person in charge that's not perfect, okay? But in the kingdom of God, it's different. We have a perfect king, okay? So that's the ideal government, and that's the government we're going to live in eternity, okay? No better government than this, okay? The kingdom with a perfect king. So here's what happens. Someone that's filled with the Spirit, moving in the power of the Spirit, they lay hands on you, your spirit man, out of the riches of His glory, you being that strengthened with mighty power in your inner being by the Holy Spirit. So in that moment, your spirit man goes like that, And what happens is it cracks through the limitations and strongholds and arguments in your soulish life. Okay, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is an argument. It's the best way I can describe a stronghold. It's an argument in your mind that's contradictory to the Spirit and the kingdom. That's the really the bottom line of what a stronghold is. It's an argument. Oh, I don't know. That's a stronghold. God's doing, that's a stronghold. I'm praying for the sick. Oh God, that's a stronghold. I'm arguing against the Spirit. I'm arguing against the Word. I'm arguing against all of that. That's called a stronghold. But when you get strengthened with mighty power in your inner man, and especially in the area of healing for me, those strongholds were broken by the power of the Spirit. It's a spirit-to-spirit thing. When Dr. Randy Clark laid hands on me, he blew on me. I was a stubborn guy, let me tell you, because I'm a brainy guy. I like to make sure everything, I think through things a lot. Maybe some of you are like that. Okay, I went through many impartation services with Dr. Randy Clark, where everybody would be laid out on my left, everybody would be laid out on my right, and I'd be the only one standing there. Any of you had that happen? My God, why are you going to touch me? I'm really grateful that you touched everybody, but this is kind of embarrassing. Is there a crumb under the table somewhere? God, I'll eat this Syrophoenician woman. I just kind of felt like that. And I would go through impartation after impartation meeting with Dr. Randy Clark. And it's like, oh, here we go again. Everybody's getting set free and demon. God, what are you going to do? But then I was on a trip to Brazil. It's like, we go to Brazil, Global Awakening, if you can. Find a way. You'll enjoy it. Find a way. If just pray. Try to get to... You can do the Global School of Ministry online. Okay? They offer it online. I did my first year online, actually, on the Global School of Ministry, and then I did the second year in person. And my wife and I moved to Mechanicsburg. This is our life. Like, we can't miss God, right? Our life's about Him. It's got to be about Him. I can't live this life without the power of the Spirit anymore. The healing ministry was the most frustrating failure of my life. Praying for the sick and not seeing them get well, because I know that's a contradiction to Jesus. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. They're not following me, therefore what? The bottom line is I had unbelief. That's why they weren't being healed. Okay? But everything shifted. So when finally, we were in Brazil, probably this is my 20th impartation meeting, and just, I stubborn, all right? I'm not going down unless it's God, which is good. I was like, I wanted to be genuine, right? I wasn't trying to challenge God. I just wanted everything to be legit, right? Just like, I'm either getting it or I'm not. I'm not doing this, I'm not playing games, right? We're not playing games here. This is God. This is the kingdom. Lives are at stake. Everything's at stake here. So finally, we're in Brazil. I don't know, the words of Randy, they've always penetrated me, but something was different. They always penetrated me because it's anointed. The anointed one is in you, Christ in you. We talk about Christ in you, that means anointed one in you. So that's the anointed one. Christ in you means anointed one in you. He's Jesus Christ. Jesus anointed one. And that's what sets Jesus apart as in human flesh, is that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Okay? Acts 10:38. It's the ministry of Jesus. All right. God the Father. Who anointed Jesus? God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and what? The power that goes with being filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to have the power element, okay? Because so many Christians live a powerless life even though they have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of the release. See? This is why it's so important for you to experience the release of God in your life. Okay? Not just to have the Holy Spirit in you, but to experience the kingdom of God being released in and through you. Because the kingdom has to be experienced. It has to be expressed outwardly through you.
Thank you, Lord. Today we share part of a pre-recorded message from Dr. John Prudian of Jesus Nation Ministry. Thank you, John.